See, this is the problem when she asks drunk people to record things for. Hi, I'm Brain Douche, and this is all her fault. This is Naughty Bites.
The podcast is much better than the promo.
It almost has to be.
I kind of like the promo.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It's time for another nutty debate. But first, let me introduce who I've got with me. I have got Andrea of a cool Kickstarter idea. She is trying to create a board gaming pub. So she's going to tell us about that. Say hello, Andrea.
Hello, Internet.
And we've got Tabs from Between the Lines Studios.
Yay!
And also my resident co-host, Tech.
Hi, I'm Tech.
All right, Andrea, can you tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter?
Sure. So our Kickstarter campaign is basically the last piece of the puzzle in order to open the doors for the Cloak and Blaster. It's a gaming pub for geeks and gamers, as well as beer geeks, who just kind of want to have this really cool themed atmosphere to come together and play games. So the Kickstarter is for $15,000 over the course of 30 days. And it's basically to raise money for licensing rights for movies and other things like that, as well as some lighting upgrades, expanding our board game library, which is really the most important part, and a little thing called Kickstarter fees.
Sweet. I have to say that there has been a lot of talk about places like this amongst my friends. We've all heard of Shoots and Lattes in Toronto, and that's more of a coffee shop kind of idea. I love the idea of it being a pub, being able to drink, you know, a bit more adult atmosphere, because, you know, I mean, what's gaming without drinking?
Right.
I say this as a non-drinker, but it is really kind of what you do. You get together, you socialize, and you have fun. And being able to do that at a central location is a pretty neat idea, because I know one of the biggest problems we have is finding somebody with a table big enough.
Right.
Yeah, or exactly. Space in their house, or, you know.
Yeah.
Or somebody who wants to clean their house.
Exactly. It's so stressful. That's actually one of my pitfalls, is that it's so stressful when people come over, because we're crazy and we're really busy. And so, you know, things in the house just kind of fall to the you know, the back of the mind, and might not vacuum as much as I should. So it's stressful when people want to come over and play games. So we just said, hey, let's just make our own place so we don't have to clean our house.
That, you know, that just works for geeks, you know, laziness for the win.
And where in the world will this pub be located?
Oh, the capital of Disney World, Orlando, Florida, the beautiful Sunshine State.
That's right, Tech. So when we go back to Disney,
yay,
we're going to Cloak and Blaster, because that would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Fantastic name, by the way.
Yeah, I do love that name. Where did the name come from?
Well, we were actually a World of Warcraft. We had a little bit of an addiction to World of Warcraft, and we started playing, and then we started with a new group of friends, and we needed to create a guild. So we just kind of talked over the name a little bit, and between my husband and I, one night, we were there, and it just kind of came out. What about the Cloak and Blaster? So we decided that, you know, it was very appropriate to name our bar after our World of Warcraft guild.
That is pretty awesome, I will say.
Thank you.
As somebody who is been in a guild for 10 years, not in Warcraft, but in another MMO, you definitely get tied to your guild.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, though. I know, like, I'm sure at least one person on the internet will look up the guild and they'll see that maybe we were together for 5 weeks because we had been casually playing, and then we decided to create the guild, and then all of a sudden no one played.
Oh.
So, I mean, we're all friends, you know, and we see each other in person, but just then I really blame Star Wars The Old Republic, because that just kind of killed our wow and sorted us out over there. And yeah,
that'll do it. That will do it. That is one of the arguments that I have for the few MMOs that have just one server, because you don't have to worry about getting stuck on different servers and so forth.
Exactly.
All right. That is great. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about your Kickstarter? Like, are there any really cool rewards or anything that's really important?
Well, I'm biased. I think all the rewards are really cool.
I like the bathroom one.
Yes, the bathroom one is probably one of the best, and I'm really excited that one of them has been taken. So we have two of our higher levels at $2,000. We have one called the Queen and one called the King. And as you can probably assume, basically your visage will grace the door of either the men's or the women's restroom. for all of eternity, and you can be painted in, you know, however you want. So if you want to be painted as, you know, this kilt-clad barbarian holding up a head of whatever, that's your deal. You know, if you want to be dressed like a queen, that's up to you. So that's probably one of my favorites. The $5,000 level, which is one of the coolest ones, I think, is a private party. So we'll basically shut down the whole pub for 4 hours and buy everyone their first round. So I think that's pretty awesome. But we have things like gaming tables. We make our own custom gaming tables, and you can put your name on them, as well as things such as putting your name on the bar and challenge coins and T-shirts and the usual awesome stuff.
That sounds awesome. And custom game. Go ahead.
Naming the menu items kind of took off. That was like the most popular one.
Yeah, that actually all 10 spots of those sold out within 24 hours. So we actually ended up adding another level just for drink menu, you know, a little bit higher. And those are still available just in case anybody wants those. But we did reach our initial goal within the first 36 hours, which was huge for us.
Oh, wow.
We're kind of like back here, you know, behind the computer, like, oh my gosh, did we really just do that? And it's, you know, it's exhilarating to know that so many in the community are behind us. So we still have some really great stretch goals, such as a better beer selection and, you know, miniatures and video games. And so I would definitely encourage anybody to check it out.
That sounds awesome. And the gaming tables sounds so cool because I'm huge into gaming tables. I don't have any custom ones of my own, but I will tell you that I go to various websites and people who post pictures of their own gaming tables, and it's kind of like porn.
Right. Well, and that's kind of where it came from. You know, we don't have, well, I got to tell you, the biggest inspiration for our gaming tables is a game called Firefly that just came out from Gale Force 9, and it's a big game. You know, there's a lot of pieces, a lot of cards, and we didn't have a single table when we came home with it that would fit it. So we actually used that game as the size for our four-person gaming tables.
Sweet. So what you're telling me is that I can actually put all of Arkham Horror on one of your tables, including expansions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably. It's about the same size.
And awesome. It does have cup holders, and they're nice and heavy. They look like they're out of an old tavern. So we really put a lot of special things into them to make them unique.
Dang. I'm going to want to go to Florida.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Nutty debate.
Okay, so let's get into our debate. Well, you know, the reason we're really here. I mean, come on. So we're going to talk about our favorite board games. And when I say board games, I'm not talking Parcheesi or Monopoly. I'm talking about geeky board games, European style, and the awesomeness that has exploded over the internet thanks to tabletop being the best marketing campaign for geeks. So let's start out and let's just throw out our tech is raising his hand. Go ahead, Tech.
Like I do in all the nutty debates that I'm on, I have to start with a definition.
Oh,
and with what makes a board game a board game. It's a combination of skill and randomness that makes the game. If the game has no random elements in it whatsoever, then you get chess.
Sure.
It's all based on player skill, and the guy who's better is going to win almost every time. If a game is nothing but randomness, well, then you get craps at a casino, where it's just a random chuck of the die, you know, shoots and ladders type, where player skill has nothing to do with it. It's all based on whatever your randomizer tells you. What makes a good, fun board game, or good, fun game, is a combination of the two, where a player's skill counts for something, but a good roll of the die will always level the tables, or absolutely crush you like it does me every time.
Except when you're playing crib.
So when I learned most about board games, I played board games my whole life as a kid, and my family is a huge, like, play board games nut. You know, that's my aunt calls us the gamiest people she knows. but when I started working for Geek & Sundry, I worked with a guy named Bojan Radakovic, who's really the brainchild behind board games at tabletop. And that's exactly what he says. You know, it's a good game. All of the games on tabletop have a element of skill and strategy and luck. So it's got to be 50-50 or the game is broken.
Absolutely.
I will add a caveat that what makes a really good board game is if there's a good, strong theme to it that you can play along with. For instance, Crib has a nice element of luck and strategy, but there's no extra element of fun in there like the strong theme of, say, a game like Bang, where it's got this spaghetti Western theme and you really kind of find yourself playing into it and you get the different characters and yeah. You end up playing into your character.
Theme doesn't help. Like, sometimes there's theme and no fun.
That's true.
It's a really great game. I think of Zombicide. Great theme, great miniatures. Not as much fun as Last Night on Earth.
Mm. I haven't played those games, so I can't comment.
Well, look at Risk. Great theme, but I guarantee you halfway... I've never seen a complete game of Risk, and I can guarantee that halfway through, you are ready to murder the person across the table from you.
Well, I do know at our tabletop event, we had a game of Risk. What was it, 2025? No, 2525, some whatever the expansion is. And they started it at the beginning of the event, and they just finished at by the end of the event. It was a six-hour event, and they constantly had people tag-teaming in and out because it was just going on forever.
Yeah. Wow. Grace Helberg, who was on the Formula D episode of Tabletop, told us this great story about Risk because apparently her brothers all played with her. And they would be like the super, like, we took a picture of how the Risk board was set up so we could set it up the next time, you know, because it wasn't over. And their little brother always won. So all of her other brothers and her teamed up against him. And he decided that he was going to throw up on the board. And he kept telling him he's going to throw up on the board because they were like totally just destroying him. So yeah, Risk is not a good game to play with angry people.
This is true. Although I will say Pandemic brings a lot of the great elements of Risk and brings in more fun to it.
Right, because you're not pitted against each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite games. I tend to have some issues when I lose against my husband when we are playing games. I get a little grumpy, I guess is a good word. And so when we brought Pandemic home, it was wonderful because we actually had to work together. So it was a really nice experience, you know, for us, just the two of us to play and kind of work together to save the world. It was cute.
I'm going to bring that up as another key element for board games. When I first started doing this style of board gaming, I started with Talisman. And Talisman is a lot of fun, but you're playing against each other. And so you're finally able to get into the next level, and then somebody pulls you right back. And you try to get to the next level, and they pull you back again. And it's very frustrating. And then I played Arkham Horror, where you're working together to prevent the old god from rising. I really love a game that is cooperative like that when it comes to a larger scale board game. If you are all on one team or there's multiple teams, it ends up being a lot more fun.
Right. No, not fun. I am very much with Worf on this one. the games. My family is very competitive, but we're not, like, we don't hold grudges. So we tend not to go through the cooperative games unless it's with, like, kids. So there's some great kid cooperative board games if you get tired of Candyland and things like that. But together we're just like, no, let somebody win. Why? What's the point if nobody wins?
That's great. So there's two schools of thought there. Mm-hmm. So,
is great. It is great if you have those people that in your life who are very angry kind of players. They are fantastic to play with them because those are the kind of people that would like to cheat and try to cheat. And yeah, you just get angry and frustrated. So, cooperative games are good for them.
Yeah, angry people that like to cheat should just play Munchkin.
I just want to put a PSA out there. I am not a cheater.
Me neither.
Like, I'm talking about a certain brother-in-law I have.
So speaking of getting people angry at you, I'm going to bring up a game that when I first played it, I was told this is not a game to play with somebody if you're afraid of losing friends. If you're secure in your friendship, you can play this game, and it's Zombies with 3 exclamation points.
I've heard that. I've never played it.
Tech, you want to tell us a little bit about Zombies?
Is that the one where you draw the map as you go along?
Yeah, the one we played with Gigantor.
Yeah, no, actually a really fun game where it's the players are trying to make their way across a map, and the map is drawn turn by turn by adding tiles onto the board, and you've got little miniature dudes that are trying to make it across a cityscape to a known exit point. Now, whether you work together to screw someone else over or you decide to just, you know, go at your own, it is up to the players. But every turn, more and more zombies appear, and they you know, you're trying to outrun the horde and each other to be the first one off the map to leave the city. It gets pretty crazy, especially when you realize that, you know, you get to a point where none of you are getting out unless you work together.
Mm. And then you work together, and then you backstab each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So basically, it's The Walking Dead in a board game, right?
It's awesome. It is a lot of fun. And being able to play with somebody and know that, yeah, I'm going to stab you in the back, but we're still going to be friends later is great. You can't do that with everyone. Some people will take it really personally.
Right.
I remember I used to game with somebody, D&D 3.0, who was so attached to his character that he would personally take offense if anybody did anything to his character. So I would never play zombies with him.
Yeah. We're just here to have fun. The point of playing games is to have fun and be together, not to, you know, exactly. have hurt feelings and ruin friendships later.
You know, a game
grew up. Tables are so heavy, so we can't flip them.
Nice. You know, a game I grew up playing that I had to quit a few years ago was the Warhammer series of miniature games from Games Workshop. I absolutely love them. I still have a house full of miniatures that I'm slowly painting and modifying, and I love the artwork and the worlds are perfect, but the I don't know what it is about the games that draws out this aggression in players. I mean, we were at work bandying about, talking about our new armies that we were building. And this guy starts getting mad. He's like, well, bruh, you can't win against me. And I've got these statistics. And on page 7, I can do this. And man, calm down, dude. And then you go to the stores to, you know, to play games. And every time I go, there's at least one of that lawyer guy, you know, the rules lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That dude, there's, well, according to page 7 of the book, of every book that I own, you can't do that. And I can. And I have spent 7 years of my life poring over this tome to make the army that you can't win against, but all my models are unpainted, and they're bare plastic. And this one here is a penny because I can't find the other miniature I need, you know?
Yeah, it's really sad, and I've talked about that a lot, like the angry gamers. Like, I don't play Magic as much as I would like to because the people that play it are too intense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, dudes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I started years ago, before I quit Magic, I started making decks not to win, but just to not lose.
Yeah.
So, like, my friends would make these, they'd spend hundreds of dollars buying all of the cards to make killer combo decks that would kill you in 3 turns flat every time, no matter what the cards drawn were. So I put this little stack of cards on. They're like, what's that? Well, it's called Permission. And every card I had was just designed to counter anything you played. Nothing else. I had no creatures. I had no ability to do damage. I couldn't win, but you weren't going to win either.
That's right. Hilarious.
Yeah. I ended up winning quite a few games because the guys would just rage quit. And the one guy, actually, at one point, we're playing a multiplayer game, and he gets really frustrated, and he just takes a card from his hand, and he shoves it in front of my face. He goes, Fred, can I play this? Mm-hmm. He goes, yes, you can. Now you know why it's called Permission.
What I like is that now, though, every time we dig out an old stack of Magic cards, he sends them to my nephew because my nephew started playing Magic and Scouts. And they let them use old cards, and it's none of this. That was always my barrier for Magic, is you had to have whatever the latest edition of cards were because cards would expire. And I'm not into that. I don't like my cards expiring. If I have a game, I want to be able to play it forever.
Well, I just started again because of Geek and Sundry, and I, you know, playing with people at work is a lot different than playing with people that are players, and it's like, oh my gosh, you people, we're having fun. I have a nice little black and white deck that has vampires. It's fun.
Nice.
See, I'm the same way. I have when I have this green deck and I have this one card. Okay, I'm not going to say that I'm a huge Magic like know-it-all because I am not. I literally just put pretty cards down and I understand the basic fundamentals. And there's this one card that would spawn like 5,000 foxes or wolves. And I would play it on my husband to win every time. And I'd just say, my wolf army. I didn't know if I was doing it right. It was just, you know, it was just fun to have things like that.
Right.
But having to replace those cards every time, yeah, that's kind of.
But how about some card games that we do like? I've already mentioned Bang. Bang is one of my favorites because it combines the cooperative element along with the non-cooperative because some people are kind of working for the same goals and other people are not. In Bang, there's a sheriff, the deputy, a renegade, and outlaws. And the sheriff wants to be the last one standing, or him and the deputy being the last one standing. The renegade wants all the outlaws to die before he kills the sheriff. And then the deputy just wants to, you know, live with the sheriff. And I have so much fun with that because you're trying to figure out who is who.
Because the roles are random.
Yeah. And you
and
don't
secret.
Yes, they're secret. The only person you know is the sheriff.
Okay.
And so you're constantly trying to figure out, okay, is this person an outlaw like me? Or is this person, you know, the deputy or the renegade or whatever? And I think we had the best time when we first introduced it at a friend of ours' house. They're a couple. And it didn't matter that they were both outlaws. They just kept firing on each other because they just wanted to shoot each other.
I like it.
So what are some other card games, card-type board games that you guys like?
Yeah, I'll go. One game that I just absolutely fell in love with at Gen Con, and we've played it nonstop, is based off of Munchkin. It's called Drunk Quest.
I think I've heard of that.
Yes, it was successfully kickstarted, so they are kind of limited in their supplies. But Drunk Quest is basically, is literally Munchkin, except instead of slaying dragons with various things that you have, you slay them by drinking. So you knock down the door and get a monster, just like in Munchkin, and then that monster is worth four drinks or, you know, and three treasures. And then you take one turn around the table and people can, just like in Munchkin, put down like double your drinks or, you know, they could say don't drink. It's really fun and it gets really, really crazy depending on what you're drinking. But the cards are nice and big and they are made out of this nice material. So if you spill your beer, it doesn't kill the game.
Nice.
Oh yeah, it's one of our favorites.
My favorite card game right now is Gloom.
Oh, I love Gloom.
Gloom is amazing.
I've got the Cthulhu edition.
Yes. That I figured out, Andrea, we were playing totally wrong at Gen Con.
Oh.
Wait, we were all too tired to keep.
The first game or Cthulhu?
The Cthulhu one.
Okay, because the first game was probably my most positive gaming experience in all of eternity.
Yeah, I tried not to strangle Andrea during that. Andrea really got into the storytelling part of her.
Whatever
thing
she tries to tell you, okay. I came up with absolutely amazing stories and histories for all of these characters and how they interacted, and I should have gotten a Pulitzer Prize for my performance.
Let's just say that I could have walked away, got two more drinks, come back, and she would still be telling the story about how her character died.
I think you did, actually.
I did, but you stopped. You waited for me.
Oh, that's right, to make a point.
Okay, so Gloom is fantastic for storytellers. Tabs, do you want to explain it a little bit for those who haven't played?
Yeah, Gloom is basically a Victoria Gothic kind of looking game with these really cool clear cards that you can lay on top of each other and build on top of each other. And the point of the game is to make your family miserable as possible. And everybody else tries to make them happier until they die. And the game ends when you've killed off an entire family. So there's cards that are like, you know, just crazy things like my favorite is Mauled by Manatees, and that gives you negative points.
Yeah.
You try to get as many negative things on top of them on these stacking cards until you kill them. And, you know, you can play without the storytelling, but it's not as much fun.
No.
You don't.
And I find that the storytelling comes naturally. You're looking at the cards, and then eventually a little story will start to pop out. Say, well, he was going to get mauled by manatees, but then he found a life ring, and then he got hit by a powerboat, and it just goes on and on and on.
And I've actually found myself not playing a card because I'm like, oh, that doesn't really go with the story that well.
Exactly.
And they have awesome alliterations in this game.
And the puns. Oh, the puns.
Oh, the puns.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's what makes the storytelling come alive is there's just these wacky characters. Like there's one family that has a brain in a box and a mad scientist and
yes,
a teddy bear. And, you know, it's just like you get all this inspiration for stories just immediately from the ideas that on the cards. And they're just so pretty.
They are.
I just love the idea of these clear cards that you can lay on top of each other. They're so just gorgeous.
And I will say, for the price that you pay for them and the quality that you get, like, it's really not expensive tech. card game.
My favorite card game is cribbage, and you know that, but that doesn't count for this
no, this
conversation.
Doesn't count.
But it is a board game because there is a board.
My favorite is I just lost it. Canasta. I like Uno.
Uno's awesome.
Spit.
But besides cribbage and its awesomeness and its timelessness and the fact that I just don't lose unless you're 13 and you get 28 in your first hand in your first game ever playing. But we won't talk about that sad, sad day in my cribbage history.
Do you want to tell the listeners about your history of cribbage with the CHSR tabletop events?
We do tabletop events a few times a year. And at every event, I become the resident old man. I sit down with my cribbage board and the first person to beat me gets a T-shirt. And I went 1 4/5 of an event before giving away a T-shirt, and I was resoundingly beaten. Finally, but I just have too much fun playing. But in the nerdy board games, nerdy card games, I have to throw a giant shout out to Skippy. I was I was featured once on his blog, Skippy's List, and he then came up with this great game called Red Shirts. And Red Shirts is oh, it's kind of like Gloom. You're trying to kill people off, but you are in command of a very punny pseudo Star Trek universe away team, and you are trying to kill your red shirts faster than anyone else. So everybody else around the table is trying to save your red shirts from dying, and it's not the Borg, it's the Berg. It's
Ermigood Berg.
It's so is all, it the ice or the pits? It's all no copyright generic characters.
Yes.
But it's done so punny and with a great sense of humor and a great sort of comic art style. And it's a lot of fun to play. You can check out the Epic Tabletop webcast that we put up on YouTube and see us playing and getting the rules wrong.
That's a little plug for another podcast, Epic. You can find them at geeklew.com. Skippy. See, now you got me saying the wrong thing.
Red Shirts. Skippy.
Red Shirts is so much fun, and each card will make you laugh because it's got a great pun. There's all sorts of funny things. You're sending your red shirts away on missions, and you want them to die. And so your opponents are going to make them survive. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. You need tactical to survive this mission? Here you go. Here's a phaser. You've now got tactical or, you know, whatever. And there have been so many times that somebody's really close to killing off all their red shirts, and then suddenly they get 5 red shirts. Ah!
Nice.
And, oh, the one miracle card that everyone wants is, it's not Wesley Crusher. Kelsey Woosher.
Kelsey Woosher.
That's it. And he's wearing that horrible tricolor sweater. And
yeah, it's really funny. So, if you had a group of people coming over, or you just wanted to go, for instance, to a pub and play a game, and you wanted to play a board game, but you didn't want to play for 5 hours. What is your favorite quick pickup board game to just introduce to people who have never played before and it's really easy to get them going?
Quirkle.
Ah, tell us a little bit about Quirkle.
Quirkle is a fantastic game. It's one of the few geeky board games that you'll find designed by a woman. Most of them are guys, obviously. And Quirkle is, it kind of looks like dominoes in a sense. It's these black tiles with different shapes and colors. And you get a set of 7. So there's either 7 red with 7 different shapes or 7 different colors of the same shape or something like that to make a Quirkle. And it scores like Scrabble. So if you add to it a certain way, you can get double points and whatever. It's super easy. It's super fun. It's a little confusing for muggles when they first start, but they catch on really quickly. And then it's just go from there. And it's fast. It's about, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops.
Well, that's a lot faster than the one I was going to come up with, so now I feel bad. Every time someone comes over to our house, it's kind of waned a little bit, but since we are in Florida and where we live east of Orlando is not really the classiest place, not trying to hate, but we play a game called Redneck Life by Gut Busting Games, and we've been playing this game probably for 5 years, or as long as it came out. It's hilarious. It's a basic board game. It's like the game of life, except you are a redneck and you go through different phases. So there's a turning 18 phase where you have to get a job and you just roll for your job. And it's anything from being like a trailer park attendant to nothing. And it's great because the whole game, you're losing teeth. and you're dating children. Oh, yeah. So my favorite, yes, it's a wonderful, and one of my favorite actions in the game is when you have to roll to see how many redheaded stepchildren named Daryl that you acquire. If you roll a 6, then you have 6 redheaded stepchildren named Daryl. So it's really interesting to see what the players do, and sometimes if you're lucky, you'll pull a card where you can, you know, give your kids away to other people, or you can just leave them at the Grand Canyon like a very responsible parent.
Oh my god!
Yes. At the end of the game, the winner is determined by how many teeth you actually retain. So the person with the most teeth is the big winner.
That's awesome.
Just like life.
I try to run by that motto. Keep the most teeth.
Awesome. So, Tech, why don't you tell us, what's your favorite pickup game to introduce people to?
My favorite board game to introduce new players is Fiasco. And I knew that all along. There's no editing trickery in the last 30 seconds.
Tell us about Fiasco.
Fiasco is... And there are many different scenarios out there, but they're all based on movie plots and movie genres. And the idea is that you and the players around the table play out a movie. And there is a bit of a randomized element to decide who plays what character and what props are involved. And it's all sort of sit-down discussions. And it's, as the game goes around the table, each player picks a scene and someone they wish to interact with. And then the players around the table decide at the end of the scene if it goes good or bad. And then in Act 2, the things are kind of reversed, where you pick other people to play out scenarios, and they decide if it goes good or bad. And by the end of it, you know, you've gone around the table making this story. It's like a role-playing group sped up and done with a bit of a structure to it, but there's no dice rolling to see who hits who. It's all done through storytelling. And I have never laughed harder than I have in my games of Fiasco. And with the group that we play, we've now got reoccurring characters who go from one game to another.
Meth Tooth Tony,
the meth addict who shows up in every game.
It doesn't matter if it's fantasy, modern, historical. Meth Tooth Tony is there always. I think in the fantasy one, he was called Manatooth Tony or something like that.
Ah, yes, in the dungeon one.
Yes, that was when that was actually really fun because I was playing the human version side of a werewolf, and the person next to me was playing the wolf side of me.
Nice.
And
this is a good one to start people without the whole numbers, and, you know, it's a good RPG starter, you know.
Nobody needs to know what their armor class is.
Right.
There's no THACO.
It's great for introducing people, especially people that aren't sure they're going to like all this stuff. Or one problem that we have with... some friends of ours, is that she is a decided non-geek and is immediately repulsed by anything remotely geeky. So finding games that can involve the both of them, you know, the only board game she'll play and as nerdy as she'll go is another great introductory game is Settlers of Catan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's not dragons and wizards and sorcerers. It's just a bunch of frustrated people sitting around a table staring at their drinks going, who's got brick for sheep?
And that's always fun.
You really should get her to play the Star Trek Catan because yes. It fixes a lot of that.
Nah.
We've been talking about getting that for the male of the couple because he's a huge Trekkie.
But you can tell her it fixes a lot of, like, nobody will trade with me and nobody will give me this. Like, the rules that they add on with, like, Yara and all those things fixes those problems that Catan has.
Oh, cool. Yeah. The really neat thing is watching her and him go at each other. And in the last few games, either Tekker or I have won simply because they spent far too much time trying to block the other person.
Wow. Nice.
And he's good and he wins a lot of the time, but his strategy is really simple. He will always try to build the Intercontinental Highway from one side of the island to the other. So just don't get in his way or block him at every opportunity and watch him cry.
Wow. You definitely have to get them my favorite game, which is Takenoko, which is kind of, it looks like Catan because it has similar pieces, but you're all playing on the same board. So you're all growing bamboo. You're all... The premise of the game is that the Emperor of China has given the Emperor of Japan a panda bear, and you are the gardener trying to build this beautiful garden, and the panda wants to eat all of the bamboo. So you have different goals based on that. So either the panda will eat stuff, or you'll grow stuff, or you build stuff. And it's fun because you can block each other from, you're like, oh, I know what you're trying to do. Done.
Okay, that just sounds adorable.
It's so adorable.
I have to warn you, though. That game is frustrating. I will be the naysayer in this because I...
We had a bad game experience because of reasons.
I cannot understand because that of reasons. Game. There's nothing wrong with me, I don't think, but I just can't get it.
You just had a bad experience because of reasons, other reasons.
Hashtag reasons.
Hashtag reasons. Okay, so... I'm going to give my introductory game, which I like for a couple of reasons. It's very portable. The box is small enough that I can throw it into my laptop backpack and I can bring it with me no matter where I go. You can play in about, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how long it goes off. And it's not hard to learn, but it's very rich in its theme, and that is Elder Signs. And Elder Signs is like Arkham Horror, scaled down. Instead of going through the entire town, you're going through a museum, and you're trying to prevent one of the old ones from rising. And again, each card has some really funny flavor text, and you each get characters that have special abilities that help you fight, and you end up getting into the position of role-playing those characters because the flavor text is just so much fun. And I will tell you, every time I've set this game up, I've had people say, I don't know if I can do this. I said, just sit down. By the first hand, you'll know everything you need to know. It's not that complicated. It just looks more complicated than it is. And by the first hand, everybody knows what they're doing. And I can't think of a time that we finished a game and someone said, so what else should we play? It's always, you want to play that again? I brought the game down to New York on one of my last visits, and I went to my brother-in-law and sister's house, my sister and brother-in-law's house, and we played the game. My sister was a little bit resistant. We played the game like 3 times the first night, and we all had so much fun. And then I went back to where I was staying, and I got a text the next day from my brother-in-law, who does not like to use his phone at all. Never uses the phone. And he actually texted me and he's like, so I don't know what you're doing, but if you wanted to come over later and maybe we could play that game, that would be cool.
Oh,
we still have that. I'll even make popcorn.
There is one other game that has the repeatability.
Yes.
Of that. Mm-hmm. And that is Pandemic, where you finish a game and you immediately want to start another one. Usually because you're dead in 2 turns. Like, well, that doesn't count. Okay, let's start again. Let's go over.
Yeah, Pandemic is a lot of fun. I like that a lot. Now, I want to bring up 2 games because we were talking about Catan before. And there are 2 games that, for some reason, I link with Catan. One is Ticket to Ride. Yes. And that's where you're building railroads across Europe or other areas. And then there's this other one that... When we first sat down to play it, I thought I was not going to have fun. I thought it was the stupidest game idea ever. And even as we were setting up, I was thinking, how can I get out of this?
I know what you were going to say.
Yeah, what am I going to say?
You're going to say Power Grid.
I am going to say Power Grid.
Power Grid is awesome.
It's...
It sounds dumb.
It does.
Super dumb. But it is super fun.
You're basically setting up power plants, and it's a lot like Ticket to Ride because you're linking things together and so forth. But it sounds so stupid. It's like, oh yeah, I've got these power plants and my countries and yada yada yada, and it sounds like the dullest thing ever, and an accountant created this game. But no, it's somehow in playing it.
Well, he might be an accountant. You don't know.
He might be. He might be a very fun accountant, actually. But by the end of the night, I was like, that is a lot of fun. I will be playing this again.
Yeah. The fun thing is, if you decide that you like a certain style of board gaming, like if you like storytelling, there's so many storytelling kind of games. If you don't like storytelling, you know to avoid those things. You know, if you don't like Gloom, then don't buy Once Upon a Time. If you don't like Once Upon a Time, don't do this, you know. But if you like resource management, which is what Ticket to Ride and Catan and things like that are, you probably will like Lords of Waterdeep. And then you can go on to Puerto Rico and other resource management type games. So it's really fascinating to bring people from the Clue and, you know, those kind of world of just playing those kind of games into deeper and deeper into, you know, super gamers.
Yes.
We've gone this entire episode so far and no one has said Small World yet.
Oh my, how is that possible?
I wasn't sure if we were not allowed to talk about that game or if it was going to be like that.
Small World is no one talks about Small World.
Yeah, well, it's like the first nutty debate we did where we were talking about ineffective characters in sci-fi and we went an entire hour without mentioning Jar Jar.
Oh my gosh.
I know. We then had to do a 45-minute amendment episode, which was nothing but us railing on Jar Jar for three quarters of an hour.
Amazing. No, Small World, I'm going to right off the bat say I love Small World, and Small World I think is fantastic because you can play it with almost any age. We've got a friend whose 7-year-old generally beats the table.
He's good.
He is good.
And we've played with my parents, and my parents, who are also non-geeks or closeted geeks, enjoy it very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun because the colors are great, the characters are great, like, and, you know, just putting together the combinations of, oh, I'm going to use, you know, this time, and then I'm going to use this time. It's just fun. It's a fun-looking game.
I tend to get attached to certain races. Like, if I can play elves, I will play elves because the first time I played it, I had elves everywhere, and it just worked great. And then now I'm all about I think it's the magician that gets to turn somebody else into a magician. Love that race.
I will say to anyone who likes Small World, check out the Small World app for yes. the iPad, because it now has 4-player multiplayer capability, which means you can play an entire game of Small World and you don't have to pick up any of the pieces because there are a lot of pieces.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing too is playing these games in app form. So I like Agricola. It's really hard to set yes. up. But it's super fun to play on iPad and, you know, just other games like that. Plus, they are not in my area. I can just friend them and, you know, take turns playing. It's just super fun.
Right. That's kind of one of the great parts about it. And it's not even just, you know, tabletop games. It's just the whole iPad gaming situation is just amazing.
Yes, I agree. Not to be all one platform better than the other. Okay. I don't have much experience with any Android tablets or Windows tablets, but the apps on the iPad, I 100% love.
Is available on Android for people. There's not the problem is there's not a lot of board games available on Android right now.
Yeah,
but Elder Sign is there. So if you want to play it and try it out, it's a great way to play it because you can play by yourself or you can play with other people. And Elder Sign again is another game you can play by yourself. The board game version too. You don't have to have a bunch of people with you. You can play it by yourself.
I never even thought of that, but you know what? You're right. Mm-hmm. Ooh, fun.
Hopefully you get the character with the dog.
Ash Can Pete. Love Ash Can Pete. So are there any other board games that we have to mention before we wrap up?
Go for it.
Sorry, I'm really shocked that Tabitha has not mentioned King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo is a great game to play with kids. Oh my gosh, I love King of Tokyo.
See, I will admit, I've never played King of Tokyo. It's literally in the other room. We just ordered it, but I know that I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah. So if you have friends that are muggles that like Yahtzee, King of Tokyo is basically that. It's a lot of rolling dice, but you have the added element of you're a monster trying to destroy Tokyo, and all the other monsters gang up on you if you're in Tokyo, or you gang up on the other monsters. It's really fun. It's kind of like a King of the Hill element to it.
I think Rory would like to play that game.
Yes, I think Rory would.
Rory would love that game. and there's some really fun expansions to it, too. So you can get, like, this panda, this giant panda. They have a Halloween one coming out that I'm really excited about. I think it's already out. But it's super fun. It's a dice rolling game. And it's really easy to play. Most of the muggles I play with love it. And then it's easy for kids because they just sit there and roll dice. And you, like, punch people and, you know, it gets really aggressive. Little boys like it. So I had one little boy at our tabletop day. That's all he wanted to play the entire time. He's like, oh, I want to punch people.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Also the X-Wing game. I have had a lot of fun playing the X-Wing game from Fantasy of Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always really popular because, you know, it's like a miniature, but it's not this huge setup. You can literally just bring the one box and play, you know, and I'll have an X-Wing and my husband will play with the two TIE fighters. And it's really quick movement. I really like it.
Yeah, it's a nice, if you've never played miniature games, it's a nice intro because, all you need is the box.
That's the same company that did one with World War I aircraft and Zeppelins and all that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm.
Fantasy Flight Games makes really great in-the-box miniature games.
And they have expansions, so you can actually get the Millennium Falcon, which sold me.
Ooh.
Yes. There you go.
See, as a giant plane nerd, I have always wanted to play that game and buy the miniatures. Unfortunately, none of my other friends are plane nerds, and they'd look at it and go, "Nah, airplanes, meh." But if there's an X-Wing TIE Fighter version, that might be the in I need.
There you go.
Yeah.
And a lot of the games that we mentioned have been played on tabletop, so you can watch them being played and see if you like them.
Ding.
And ding. But the Star Wars X-Fighter one is on there, and they had the soup models that you can get, the big ones.
Mm.
So those are fun.
Sweet. All right. So is there anything else we need to mention? Tech?
I'm going through the library that we have in the back of my mind, trying to think if there's anything else that we need to mention.
But I was going to mention, yes. Andrea mentioned King of Tokyo. I was going to mention my newest fun favorite board game is called Rise of Augustus. It is, I call it Roman Bingo. Have these cards, like the concept is that Caesar has died. Long live Caesar, the new Caesar. And you're trying to help him repair Rome. And you get these card quests. And just like Bingo, a caller, like at the same time, you're all trying to finish these cards. A caller calls out, you know, like a shield, oh, a chariot, you know, and you put your little pieces down, your little soldier Romans. And when you finish, you scream, Ave Caesar. And everybody's playing at the same time, which is fun because, you know, there's not this waiting period. And it has like all of these different areas of Rome. You get to learn a little bit about geography and what's created there. And at the end, you the cards have point values. You add them all up and the winner is the one with the most points.
That sounds fun.
That does sound fun.
Are togas optional or is that right?
Completely optional. It plays in 30 minutes and there's about, you can play up to 8 people, which... six or eight, something like that, which is good because when you have a big gaming group.
Games that play up to 8 people or larger are always a favorite of mine because we tend to have a lot of people when we want to sit down and game. And so I am always in favor of that. I've got another one that we can throw out there that you can play with a lot of people. Citadels. Citadels is a lot of fun. And it's one of these games where your role changes every single hand.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like Masquerade. Type thing? No, not at all.
Kind of. And it's the same idea that you change roles, but Citadels is more board gamey.
Mm.
Masquerade is more bluff.
It was another game that the group played a while ago. I just can't remember what it's called. You guys can all help me. It's the one where you're all adventurers sitting around a table trying to outboast the other.
Is it?
Where it's, you know, well, I think I can kill the monster with both arms tied behind my back or hopping on one leg or... Yes.
Yeah. Braggart.
Is it Braggart?
Or are you thinking, no, I suddenly was thinking of the surreal one that Mark had, which he got from the Kickstarter. What was that?
No, different game.
That's like that where you're all sitting around the table bragging. It's called Braggart.
Okay.
Like a little green box.
Maybe.
With like a tavern on the front.
Too many things to remember. I think I was drinking rye at the time, so.
But it is, it's like that. It's cards.
Yes.
That's super fun.
That sounds like fun. I didn't play that one with you.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention it, but I only say this because we've played it literally every time we've met up with our friends. Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, yes. How could we forget Cards Against Humanity?
The game that guarantees you're going to hell.
That has become a new Thanksgiving tradition amongst one of our groups here. All of the single or non-kid and unattached by family group that get together to celebrate Thanksgiving together on Thanksgiving, which already passed in Canada. We get together and we have dinner and whatever at a friend's apartment. And after dinner, we all play Cards Against Humanity. And it's fantastic. I love that game so much that for Balticon, for the Beyond the Wall podcast, I created a special Game of Thrones deck and podcast specific. And so we played a little bit of it at the end of our panel, which was hilarious.
There's some great mashup games of Cards Against Humanity, like Cards Against Humanity Dixit, which is super fun to do.
Yeah, sorry.
Explain that one.
Well, if you know Dixit is a great intro game too. You have these beautifully painted, surreal, weird looking cards that you try to it's kind of hard to explain, that you give a clue to, and then people try to guess which is your card. So they have these crazy pictures, and so you take the questions for Cards Against Humanity and you mash it up with a Dixit card as the answer.
Oh.
Interesting. I will give you the link. Yeah, it's crazy. And it works, which is even crazier.
That is fantastic. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I feel like we need to try it now.
I'll give you the link to how to play.
All right. So is there anything else we need to mention before we start pimping ourselves? Yeah.
Yeah.
Play more games. Games are fun. I'm a huge role player, but I will say that amongst our role playing groups, games, board games have been taking over because it's so often you don't get the same people constantly around the table, and it's just easier to be able to play a one night game.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, so,
And get new people to play games.
Yes.
And yes.
Try to find games that are easy and try to, you know, figure out a way to explain them that's fun.
Not
and
Monopoly.
Encourage.
Yeah, not Monopoly. No.
But, you know, there's connections. So if you like, if this person knows how to play Scrabble, play Unspeakable Words or Bananagrams or something like that.
Yeah.
Something that has that spelling words, you know, thing. You know, just be smart about it, especially with the holidays coming up. It's a good time to introduce your family to more games.
Spread the word of the geek and evangelize board games.
Because you'll find the gospel. People are lonely. And
yeah.
Board games are a great way to get rid of your loneliness.
I'll game with you.
Thank you.
All right, Andrea, can you please tell the Mixnet Cases where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me everywhere. I am all over the internet. maybe avoid some Google image searches and go to... I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Mom. Go to www.fundgamers, as in like give me money.com. But it's just fundgamers.com. That's actually a direct link to our Kickstarter for the Cloak and Blaster. And through that site, you can find all of our websites and our Facebook and Twitter. And I'm just all over the place.
Fantastic. And Tabs?
I don't know where I am. Mostly I'm here. Waiting in Nutty's studio for somebody to do a podcast.
Yep, pretty much. I keep her locked up. It's okay. I feed her. I've poked holes in the box.
Yay.
As long as you poke the holes, it's okay.
Jack and I are just sitting here waiting. No, you can find me at TabithaGraceSmith.com that has links to everything and everywhere and Tabs on Twitter.
Yay.
I'm the regular guest host. I am the physics nerd. I write about guns and hydraulics and physics and things and what guns would do on Mars. And you can find me off of Nutty's main page, nimlast.org/blog, or you can find me at The Clock Doc on Twitter. That's at The Clock Doc, all separated by underscores, where I tend to answer questions, pose more questions, and link to videos of cool things exploding.
And talk about chicken wings.
And talk about chicken wings, because wings are awesome, and they go with rye.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. This was a lot of fun, and it's so great to get back into a classic Nutty debate. I have had a fantastic time. Thank you, everyone. If you want to tell us about your favorite board games, you can leave a comment on the blog at nimlast.org. You can leave a comment in the Facebook group. Look for Mixed Nutcases. Or you can email me, nuttybites@nimlast.org. Or you can call the voicemail line 347-NUTTY-42. Thank you so much. Bye.
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 Have you heard of the Round Table Podcast? Here's how it works. We invite authors onto the show.
Welcome to the big chair at the round table, Sherry Priest, Tim Pratt, Gail Carriger, Seanan McGuire, Patrick Rothfuss. We ask them questions.
What an excellent question.
You know, no one's ever asked me that question before.
These are great questions, by the way.
Wow, no one's asked me that before.
Then we invite writers on to present a story idea.
The genre of this story is a fantasy set in a space-like setting.
It's a superhero western.
It's a steampunk, dieselpunk fusion just because of the timeline that it's in.
It is a supernatural horror story with just a bit of a detective thriller peppered into it.
And then we workshop the story.
You're going to know what your ending is when you know what your conflict is.
Brian, I like your Sopranos meets Iron Punk meets Rome meets psychotic future killers. I think that's a great mashup.
Oh.
That makes a lot of sense, and I can't believe I hadn't thought of that.
Sure. I think that's a must. I love that idea.
And everyone leaves in a state of writerly bliss.
You guys have given me so much to work with right now. It's ridiculous. And
the ideas that I've gotten out of this today, the gears are just running. I've
spending this time with you guys has made it a whole lot more likely that this will get written.
The Round Table Podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, www.roundtablepodcast.com. The Round Table Podcast. Literary alchemy. One podcast at a time.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
This is where Nutty's going to do an edit in her final release because I can't remember the name of the game I want to talk about.
Oh, so, I'm not editing this.
So I'm going to ask you to tell me the name of the game, and then I'm just going to start my sentence like I knew it all along, and all of this will be edited.
This won't be edited.
What is the name of that game we've been playing with the group, which is the you're role-playing a movie, and you go around the table.
Fiasco. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So my favorite, and this is where you're going to edit, right now.
And everybody knows where they can find Tech because you can find him where you can find me.
Also, I don't get to pimp my projects ahead. Or anything. Yeah, oh, wow. Projects. That was great.
Well, you're the regular guest host now. I mean.